This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar. On the grandest trumpet in Zion, we want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be free. The Messiah said, I have come to set the captives free. My guest is a good friend of mine. I've known him many years, Ron Clark. He's a prophet. But it would shock a lot of people that know him personally for them to have heard what you said on yesterday's broadcast. And you said that God showed you at the beginning of the year he was going after sin. He was going to straighten people out for the great outpouring of his spirit. But then he started dealing with you. As you began to worship him, which I believe is so key, the Spirit of God is calling us to intimacy.
Right.
And as you began to worship him, he showed you things that had happened in your past that caused you to be a prisoner. And the thing that's so amazing to me is that here you minister all over the world. You minister in the gifts of the Spirit,
right,
but you were among the walking wounded.
Well, it was one of the things that was very unique about this is that I, after God had brought this healing to me, I realized that there was a grace covering it, because most of these things I had no it was not a part of my conscious thought. You know, I knew that I had always battled with rejection and bitterness and unforgiveness and difficulty in relationships and had the battle for purity in my life, and I never did understand completely why. And I don't believe that you have to know, you know, to be free, that you have to get close to the Lord. But there was something in me that was angry, and I could always touch the anger, but I could never touch the reasons why. But God's grace was on me to be a Christian and to love God and to minister to other people. But the thing that I believe is that the bridegroom is saying, come. And that this, you know.
So there's an extra grace.
There's an extra grace. And see, we've never, this sounds bad, Sid, but we've never lived and gone to church with Jesus in the church.
That does sound bad.
Okay, now you think about this. Ananias and Sapphira died because God told them to give an offering, and they didn't give what he told them to give, but they lied and pretended like they gave everything they were supposed to give, and they both died. Now, I don't know about you, but on a bad day, I've done a whole lot worse than that. And the reality, if you want to see every church represented by people living and listening to this broadcast split, all they have to do is pray and fast for revival in their church. And when Jesus shows up and he tries to bring transformation, people will get angry and they will leave. Because we literally have believed that obedience to the Holy Spirit is optional. And so we can go to church, and whether Jesus is there or not, it's all right. And if God is doing something in another church or in a meeting, it's almost like an entertainment event, like a family outing. And we go to see what God is doing. But the depth of it is that God wants to bring transformation by his glory. And we have never, I don't know about you, but if that was the standard for the judgment of God to fall, then evidently there was a presence of God in the early church there that none of us have ever known. Or we would walk in a much deeper level of intimacy and communication and obedience with the Lord. And I don't want this to be condemnation upon people, but God wants to bring us somewhere we've never been before. Malachi talks about that. in the first, in Malachi 3:1, it says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." That means that one Sunday we're going to be at church, and it's going to be business as usual. And we're going to have our gossip, and we're going to have the lust in our eyes for what we want to look at church. And we're going to sit and smile at people in church that we've hated for 20 years. And, you know, we're not going to respond to the anointing, and we're going to judge the preacher. And,
it's got to change.
You know, and we're not going to care whether there's repentance. I mean, the scripture says if we say that we have no sin, that we lie. And so there's a call for repentance, and the same three people that go to the altar every time there's a call go, and the rest of us sit there bored and get mad, and we go about our business. But between that Sunday and the next Sunday, something is going to change, and the glory of God is going to descend. And we're going to go back to church with all of our stuff intact, and during that week, the Holy Spirit's going to deal with us to seek Him and to seek the Lord and to come into intimacy and not to watch TV and to fast and to pray and to intercede and to repent. And we're going to tell God, just like we always do, "God, talk to the hand. You know, I don't have time. I'm busy. I'm this. Later, God, you have to understand." And instead of us repenting, we'll say, well, 1 John 1:9, "He's faithful and just to forgive," but we don't really repent. And then we'll come to church, and He will be there. And what we're going to do is suck carpet. And we won't be able to lift our face to look at the glory of God. And just like people used to laugh in the laughing revival, people are going to scream and cry for God to cleanse and to make change. And I honestly am fearful because the stubborn heart in that atmosphere may stop beating. And see what's happening.
So you're saying Ananias and Sapphira will be on the scene again.
Yes. See, I'm going to tell you something, is that I could resist what's going on in my heart right now, but I've battled for so long. You know, it's amazing. When we first come to the Lord, we're so messed up. We want peace. We want peace of mind. We want some blessing in our life. We want to feel good about ourselves. And it's like we go to the emergency room, and we do what we have to do to live, and we learn to compromise with bondage and darkness in our life. But right now what the Holy Spirit is doing is that He's trying to transform us to bear His glory. Wickedness has increased on the earth. Righteousness has got to increase. The darkness has increased. The light has got to increase. And He's trying to build Himself within every one of us a bigger temple to dwell in. And we could resist it, but right now, instead of me being desperate for change, it's like I want to be free. I want to be whole. I want to be delivered. And it's something that I recognize as the love of God working in me. It's His love for me and Him wanting me to love Him. And He's wanting all the corruption and the scars and the pain to go away. And I'm not going to get it by any other way but by wanting Him more than anything else.
But doesn't that come from God also?
Yes. All of it's grace. But we have to want it. There can be food on the table, and unless you want it, you're not going to eat it. But we've been satisfied and content with nothing. And in the body of Christ right now, whoever can convince the most people that nothing is the will of God has the biggest church. Let's think about this. How can we go to church and not be satisfied with anything less than the manifested presence of God? How can we go before the Lord with areas of our life that need to change and not want change? How can we be satisfied with not seeing healing and deliverance and people coming to the Lord and seeing God transform us? We're more interested in having food to eat at a restaurant than we are having the heavenly bread and the manna from God and seeing Jesus manifest and change us.
You made a statement. I just can't comprehend this. And that is how any true believer can be satisfied with where they're at or where their congregation is at.
The reality is that this is the hard place that I've had to face myself, is that there was a time that where I was the cutting edge. And I was a new wineskin. But I got content in that, and there's some place that I have to go I've never been before, because in many ways I've become an old wineskin, and so has the body of Christ at large. And we've got to be transformed, and we're in bondage. And right now, well, last summer I had a vision, Sid, and I was going up in an elevator in this thing. And it opened, and I was between two floors. And I could see the floor I was going up to, but I couldn't get up to it. And I could see the floor I'd been on, but I couldn't get down to it. I was stuck right in the middle. And the Lord says, that's where you are right now. And he said, you've got to go up, but you don't know how. But you know that you've got to, and you know that you can't go back. You're afraid to go up, but you're also afraid to go back, because the neutral zone is all gone. And I said, how am I supposed to go up? He said, seek my face. You've never been where you are before. We're being prepared for his glory. We're being prepared not for visitation, but for marriage, for habitation. God is tired of matinees and Sunday dates. He is ready to come and dwell with us.
I'm talking to Vaughn Clark, and he's speaking prophetically the heart of God. I have a scripture for you. Romans chapter 15, verse 27. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, that's in the Jewish people's spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. And I'm taking this week to tell you a little bit about the ministry. A lot of people really, if you don't get our literature, you don't understand the heart of our ministry. I'm an evangelist. God is an evangelist. God wants everyone, everywhere, to come to know him. That's why I say that at every broadcast. I found God's way. By going to the Jew first, it opens up a supernatural door of evangelism to all people. I found the way to reach the Jew. The supernatural. The Bible says the Jew requires a sign. Jesus did this. Jesus went to the Jew first with signs and wonders. Paul did this in Romans 1:16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first. So if Jesus did it, and Paul did it, and they moved in signs and wonders, that's why God's restoring signs and wonders. But we need money. And as you know, I very seldom talk about money. But we need money, not for me. I mean, God has blessed me for expanding God's kingdom. We're a ministry that's hungry for souls. We found God's strategy. We have literature, we have radio, we have television. We have foreign operations and offices, but we need your help. Would you pray about being part of this ministry in prayer, but also putting action to your prayers? I mean, before this day is up, pray about and consider investing in this ministry.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Ishvacha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime the same number, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to our past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.